Let's open to Matthew. I'm going to continue this evening on the subject of faith. I think it's important to touch on this every once in a while. What is Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing once. And hearing. And when you get tired of hearing, you hear some more. And then at some point, you have a what? A ha-ha moment. You go, wow, I never saw that. Well, why didn't you get it the first time? Because you had to keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing until there was what? Revelation. Faith comes by the word, but here's the thing. We don't act we don't act just because we have understanding. Faith without works is dead. Faith acts on what? Revelation. Faith doesn't just act because you understand something. You know, you say, well, you need to understand that. Well, you may, but if it's your own mental understanding, we don't necessarily act on just mental understanding. When we know something, when we know it, then we act. And that's revelation. So faith acts on revelation, not just understanding. And you may try to connect the two and say, well, they're the same. No, they're not. Because if that was the case, a lot of people would be acting. And they're not. They act on revelation. When you know something. And you know when you have revelation from God, you know that. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. And I want to kind of pick up and continue here this evening, or just go back through these scriptures which we touched on a few weeks ago. Matthew chapter 9, and we're talking about this particular set of messages is just entitled According to Your Faith. You know, throughout Jesus's ministry, woman with the issue of blood, he said, be it unto you according to your faith. And you could see through Jesus's ministry, the man with the palsy, he said, Jesus, seeing their faith. He said, seeing their faith. He said, man, take up thy bed, you're healed, take up thy bed and go. So it was what? It was their faith in what was provided that accomplished that for them. And again, here you can see, and I know I've kind of just jumped in here, so they'll figure out where I started. Matthew chapter 9. And if you look at this, this is, you know, this is the account where the two blind men are, it says here, following and crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And verse 28, it continues. It says, when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And, you know, if you stop and think about this, this whole account here, he had gone into the house of the centurion, not the centurion, the certain ruler, and he said, my daughter is dead. And he came in, raised her from the dead, and then he left that area. He left, and these blind men followed. Now, wouldn't it be an interesting thing? It's an interesting thing. When you look up this word followed, I happen to have this book, Sparkling Gems, something that Rick Renner brings out as a Greek scholar. I'm not a Greek scholar, but he is. And sometimes in the King James, we can just read over. You know, when we read the word followed, we just think we're just traipsing along following somebody. He said, no, that is not what that word meant. He said that word meant, in the Greek, it means to follow someone or something in a very determined, purposeful manner. That means I'm getting this. I'm after this. I want it. I'm not just maybe, maybe I'll get something or not. No, there was a purposeful manner in which these two blind men went after it. They went after Jesus. And he didn't stop. And the word also, if you look here in verse 28, or verse 27, it says, they followed him doing what? Crying. You know, like, ah! Oh, no. No, no, no. What Rick Renner said is that word crying means to scream, yell, and cry out at the top of one's voice. Hey! Screaming, carrying on, not just making, and following. Determined. I'm going to get this. Hey! I want this. Jesus! Thou son of David. He's crying. They're making some noise. Right? Did Jesus stop? I don't read it. He just kept trucking. He just kept moving and went into the house. And they're still following. And they didn't stop him. And they march right into the house. Right? They march right in. And then what happened? The blind men come to him. And Jesus, what did he say? Believe ye that I am able to do this. Isn't it interesting when you stop and you look at this? Jesus, at this point, he did not focus, or let's back up and say it another way. What did he focus on? What was the first thing he said to them? Believe ye that I am able to do this. Did he say, believe it's my will? He didn't focus on his will. He didn't even say, do you think I got the power to do this? What was the first word he said? Believe ye. Do you believe? So what is he focusing on here? Their faith. He not having them look at him. He said, believe ye. Yes, he said, believe that I'm able to do this. But what's the first thing he said? Do you believe? So he's focusing on them, on their faith. He's trying to get them to say what they believe. Faith always says what it believes. So he's trying to get them to say, what do you believe? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Isn't it interesting? He didn't say, do you believe it's my will? That's what a church is today. Well, I don't know. Maybe it might be God's will. He didn't say that here. This is Jesus. This is the will of the Father. He only said those things that the Father told him to say and express. Right? So we're hearing the heart of the Father here, expressed through the Son. He said, do you believe? So this is what I find interesting here. He's focusing on what did they believe. And so here, what's interesting here, he said, do you believe I'm able to do this? So what we're saying here is, what did he emphasize? What did Jesus emphasize? He emphasized their believing. That's what he emphasized at this point. He didn't emphasize his power. He didn't emphasize the will of God. He emphasized their believing. So in Matthew, I'm just going to read a couple of other, and we'd read these before, some other translations, the complete Jewish Bible. It says, do you believe that I have the power to do this? And they said, yes, sir. The New Living, it says, do you believe that I can make you see? And they said, yes, Lord. The Message translation said, do you really believe that I can do this? And they said, yes, sir. Yes, Master. And so continuing, verse 29, he said, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith. Now, you know, so many times I've read this, be it unto you. You know what's an interesting thing about the word be? be it. What did Jesus say? According to your faith, be. Oh, boy, I tell you, that's exciting. He didn't say, according to my will, be. He said, according to your faith, be. Be it. Oh, man, that's powerful. That's so powerful. That's so powerful. He said, according to your faith, be. Whoa. My God, that's so powerful. When you look up this word be, just in the Greek, you know, you look up in the Strong's Concordance, it says to become. So be according to your faith. According to your faith, become. Ah, Jesus, that's so good. He didn't say become because it's my will. He didn't say become because I got the power. The power was present. He said become according to your faith. Oh, my goodness. That's so powerful. Ooh, that's so good. If you continue, it says this is another definition of this word be. It says to be made, finished of miracles to be performed, wrought. So he's saying, according to your faith, become. Be it. Be healed. See according to your faith. My God. I tell you, that's so powerful. Just the word be. But be was according to their faith, not according to his will. And yet it is his will. Everybody getting a hold of this? I'm telling you, it's powerful. Think about this. You know, there's so much that the church grasps. We know it's God's will that all men should be saved. And the church grasps a hold of that. They said, oh, yes, it's God's will that all men should be saved. We know it's his will. But do all men become saved? It's according to their faith. Be saved. And yet all men are not saved. And yet if we had a conversation with somebody, they'd say, well, you know, we just don't know if it's God's will that all men would go to heaven. And you'd stop and say, no, that's not true. But yet the church will struggle over things concerning issues in life that have been provided by grace. And yet people will go, well, you know, I just don't know. Maybe it's not God's will. Not true. Because it's what? According to your faith, faith receives what grace has provided. Faith takes what grace has provided. We've got to receive by faith what grace has provided. We have to take it and receive it. We have to receive it. So some, you know, the church world, I'm not saying us or I'm not saying all church people, but you've heard this. God is in control of everything. You're laughing because you know you've heard it. So have I. And at some point, I may have even said it, being ignorant. But it's true. So if God's in control of everything, and he's in control of all that's going on, well then, if we look at this earth and the pain and the suffering that's going on, then it's quite a mess. Then we'd have to say God is behind all of this. And that's not true. That's not true at all. So God is in, yes, God is overall, but he's provided some things through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. And we can't just sit here and wait on God. What happened? What did those two blind men do? They said they followed with a determined purpose to get something that they heard. And they said, I'm taking this. I'm getting this. It's mine. They must have heard Jesus preach something. Well, think about it. He had just come out of Jairus' house. He just raised a dead girl. And I said, well, wait a minute. If he could do that, I'm getting my eyes healed. Hey, I want my eyes healed. You just raised a dead girl. I want my eyes healed. Right? And they made some noise about it. Because Jesus just showed them his will. He showed the Father's will. So we can see here. So what does according to your faith mean? Whether it happens or not. That's really what it means. According to your faith means whether it happens or not. So God has given us a free will. And we receive what he's provided by our faith. So some people are just waiting on God. I'm not talking about you all. Because you're taught. But I'm just sharing. These are things that we need to be reminded. And you know, a lot of times when the pressure's on, you don't know how much bad seed has been planted in you from years of tradition that when the pressure's on, you begin to start saying, I don't know, maybe it's just not God's will. Maybe it's not his purpose. No. I say no, because then you'd have to question the grace of God. You'd have to question every scripture in here that begins to say what he's given us. You'd have to question it. You'd have to say, well, maybe it's not true. And God says, I am not a liar. I cannot lie. Every word, every scripture has been settled in heaven. It's been bought and paid for. It cannot change. He cannot lie. He's without shadow of turning. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. So he cannot change. The word cannot change. And neither can his will. So where's the problem then? The problem is us and our faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing until we got it. And you can't be shaken. That's why, you know, when we read these scriptures, when we were just sharing on the love of God recently, and we were talking about in Matthew, where it talks about, I'll show you a man who hears my word and obeys it and does it and digs down deep and builds his house upon a rock or a foundation. If you read that in other translations, it talks about the roots. When it talks about being rooted in Ephesians 3, being rooted and grounded in love. So when it talks about the roots of your faith going down into the soil of God's love, we need to be rooted and grounded on the love of God, but our roots of faith, I'll tell you, when they're grounded in love and you're convinced that God cannot lie, that he loves you, he cannot change. He'll never leave me. He'll never turn his back on his word. then I can reach out and take it by faith and stand on it and receive it. So let's continue. Verse 29 in Matthew. Well, it says, according to your faith, be it unto you. But let me read some other translations. The Goodspeed translation of Mark, Matthew 9, 29 says, have what your faith expects. The Knox translation says, your faith shall not be disappointed. I like this, the Message translation. It says, he touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. Be what you believe. Become what you believe. Not what I can do. Not what my will is. Become what you believe. Oh, my goodness. That's so good. My. So let's turn over to Mark. Let me get off of that and let's jump over to Mark chapter 9. There's so much to cover here. Sometimes don't be in a rush. Just meditate. Meditate on the word. Think about it. Ponder it. Sometimes we just read over it. I've read over that word, be it. According to your faith, I'm saying, become. So Mark 9, let's look at, just jump down here to verse 22. Just want to read 22 and 23. And you know the story. It says, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Like, can't you see our problem? Can you fix it? Help us. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Listen to most of the other translations. You know, that's why I say, love the King James, but you need to read some other translations because you get the true heart of what Jesus was saying. Listen to the NIV. It said in verse 22, it says, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Look at verse 3. If I can help, this is what Jesus said. If I can help, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. He says, if I can help, you need to believe. He said, I know I can help, but you need to have faith in me to do it. Where's your believing? This is the New Living Translation. It says, the Spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. This is. So verse 23, this is Jesus now. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. He says, what do you mean, if I can? He knew he could. So he was trying to do what? He wasn't trying to put them down. He was trying to locate them. He wasn't trying to embarrass them. He's saying, what do you mean if I can? I know I can. But he said, what do you believe? What do you believe? So the work has been finished. Grace has made it available. So what do we have to do? Receive it. Believe it. Think about this. When you think about some things, what has been provided, think about the story of, in Numbers, just think about Numbers in Numbers 13, God said to the Israelites, go into the, said to tell the Israelites, go into the promised land. I've given them the land. They came back. They said, we got all of these things. You know, look at the fruit and all this. But the people. And what happened in Numbers, Caleb, before Moses, stilled the people. And he said, zip it. That's basically what he said, zip it. We're well able to overcome them. We can do this thing. We can take the land. And what happened? They ended up wandering around the desert until most of them died off. All of them died off except what? Caleb and Joshua. Was it God's will for them to have the land?
Yes.
Yeah. Did they take it? Nope. According to your faith, be it unto you. So it was his will that they prosper. It was their will. And they had to wander around the desert and die off. And they never were able to experience the blessings of God. That's no different today. That's no different. Let's take a quick look at 2 Corinthians. You know this 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Verse 7, for we, what? Walk by faith and not by sight. I like the New Living. It says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. The Bible in Basic English says, for we are walking. I like that. It's more present tense. For we are walking by faith, not by seeing. Same thing. For we are walking every day. We're walking by faith, not by our seeing. Let's look at another account, John. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's go over and look at how did Thomas do? Let's see how he fared out here. See what Jesus said to say about that. Yeah. Chapter 20. Well, let's back up to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, get your bad self up here. What do you say here? I'll put that in there. Put your bold self up here now. Stick your finger right in here, this hole. Right? He said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be not what? Faithless. That means no faith. Nada. Zero. Zilch. No faith. But what? Believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Let's jump over to Hebrews 11:1. I know we're bouncing around here, but we're trying to establish something here when we walk by faith and not by sight. In Hebrews chapter 11, familiar scripture verse, in the King James it says, "Now faith is the substance," or it says ground or confidence, "of things hoped for." It's what? The evidence. What's the evidence? Faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. So faith is something that is in the not seen realm. We walk by what? Faith, and not by things we see or things seeing. So let's continue. It says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things," what? "Which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So it was the unseen that made the seen. You know, it's interesting. I remember, this was years ago, Pastor Greg may remember, we were up in Springfield, Massachusetts. This was a number of years ago. Pastor Clinton and Sarah were doing a crusade. I was singing with the choir at that time. And we went up with the choir to Springfield. Jesse Rich was a Rhema graduate, and he was doing a little crusade, and the pastors were invited, and he did some things. We did it in a hotel. And I remember this guy came to the meeting, and he just wasn't ornery. He just said to Pastor Clinton, "I don't believe God. I don't believe there's a God." And, you know, Pastor Clinton, in his way, he didn't respond, you know, in, well, let me just say, he responded this way. He said, "Okay." He said, "So you don't believe there's a God?" "No, I don't believe in God." And he said, "Well, let me ask you this question." He said, "Do you believe we're in a hotel? Do you believe we're in this building?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Now, do you believe that someone sat down and thought about how to make this building, and they came together and they put some blueprints together, and they designed this, and then somebody built it?" He said, "Yeah, I could agree with that." He said, "So now, do you believe that the earth just poof, it just came, just happened, and no intelligent person, no intelligent being was behind any of that?" And he had to admit, he stopped, he said, "Well, you know what, you have a point." "Yeah, you have a point. Come on. The earth just happens to just poof, exactly, just perfectly positioned from the sun to heat us and give us life. And it's just perfectly positioned from the moon. A fool says there is no God." An F-O-O-L. So, you know, that'd be like as silly as saying, "Well, you know, let's just go to the junkyard and just poof, and there's a Mercedes." That's as silly as that is, right? You know, it just is, poof, and there it is. No, somebody had to sit down, somebody had to think of and design and make something. And so faith walks by what? Not seeing something, not what we see. Faith has to believe that what God said is so. Can you see God? No. You have to trust and believe. According to your faith, be it unto you. Faith, and of course we all know this, faith activates the power of God. Faith activates the promises of God. Faith causes the power of God to be released into your life. Not according to his will. And this is what we were sharing a couple Sundays ago when I said, how many believe you receive according to his will? There's a lot of people in here went, yes. And I said, not true. And a lot of people were like, And I said, that's not heresy. That's Bible. Yes, it's his will, but you don't receive just because it's his will. There's faith involved here. You didn't receive your salvation just because it's his will. You received because you believed in what you heard, and faith in his promises. And by the confession of your mouth, you received salvation. So yes, he would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But all men aren't being saved, and all aren't coming into the knowledge of the truth because they what? Don't believe. And so we have to believe to receive. Is that not true? So we don't believe just because it's God's will. We don't even believe because we have a need. A lot of people have needs, and they don't believe, they don't receive because what? It boils back to your faith. And I'll tell you, it's troubling, because as much as we sit in church and as much as we hear the word, sometimes, and I'm not saying people aren't believing, but we hear a lot of times people reach what I call these brick walls. I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. I don't want to die. I'm believing God. But, we get that B-U-T word in there, but. And so you've got to be so, what does this scripture say? Now faith is the confidence. And a lot of times, this is where we see people get into despair because of conditions and situations, and they begin to question. Well, maybe, I don't know. No, you better know. And you better be convinced that it's God's will. You better be confident and absolutely know. You know the little joke where they put this child in a little room, and there was manure in there, and the kids running around in there, and said, there must be a pony in here. There's got to be a pony in here. You've got to be so convinced that you can't see it, but I'm telling you, it's here. You've got to be so convinced that it's God's will for you to have something. I don't care what the conditions are like. I heard this story, kind of rambling here a little bit, but I was watching this little clip, and if I find it, I'll put it up on the board. But this was, I love this minister. How many remember R.W. Schombach? Oh, yes. I got born again. Boy, I heard that booming voice, R.W. Schombach. But this is about a 20, 25-minute little story that he shared. And somebody said to him, what's the most significant miracle you ever saw? And he said, you got 3 or 4 hours. And so he began to share this story. This I didn't know. He used to minister with A.A. Allen. How many ever knew that? I didn't know that. He taught before he came up. He would teach all week, and he would teach on faith. And he said this lady came. She had all the money she could scrounge together, and she had this child that was about, I think he said it was 6 years old. He had 26 maladies. He said he was blind, he was dumb, he was deaf. He said he had no male genitals on his body. He had none. His arms and legs were all twisted and curled up. His tongue hang out. He said he was, they just said, forget it. This lady came to these meetings and sat in these meetings. And he said, just the way God used A.A. Allen. And he said he would go next day and they didn't, he didn't call us this person out. And she came to him and said, I only got $20 left. I'm only, the meeting was only going to go one more day, one more meeting. And she said, I got to go. I don't have any more money. I only got $20. And he said, and R.W. said, Schombach, he said, I just had to turn around. He said, I began to weep and cry. He said to the lady, if he doesn't call you, I'll pray with you. The prayer of faith. So he said, that last meeting, A. Allen was ministering, and he said he ministered in a very unusual way. And he stopped, and he said, there's somebody here. And he began to go along these lines. And he said, came with a little child, and she only has a little bit left. And to kind of back up and set this, he said, we're going to do something different tonight. He said, we're going to take up an offering. And R.W. said, oh, Lord, here we go. Because he had heard this before. And so he began to call out this child. And he said, if you're here, he said, come up and put this in the something in the offering. And this lady came up. He said she was the first one. There were about 3,000 people in this arena. This lady was the first one and ran up out of her seat. When he said bring her, she was like, boom, like a rocket, running to put her offering in that bucket. And R.W. Schombach said, now I'm nosy. I'm going to go see, what did this lady put in the bucket? She put in everything, her $20. She had nothing left. And he said, as God is my witness, he said, I'm watching. And he said, A. Allen said, everybody close their eyes. He said, not me. R.W. said, not me. I'm going to watch. I'm watching. He said, this little child, he said, in that arena, every ailment was healed. Every ailment, not just in this child. He said, this child had, and this was the other thing. He said, this child had no feet. He had no feet. He had stubs. He had no feet on his body. He said, this lady ran up, put that offering in, and he said, as God is my witness, he said, it looked, his eyes looked like milky, covered over. He said, they went, and the blue started shining through his eyes. He said, his tongue went back in his mouth. He said, I'm standing here watching this. And he said, his arms began to snap into place. He said, you know what silly putty's like? He said, I began to see feet grow on this stubs. And he said, every ailment in that place was healed. But she had to come in. So the point I'm making is a lot of this was her faith. She charged to the front because he gave an instruction. And so God was trying to do what? Place their faith. Do you have faith in me to do this? What do you see? What do you mean if I can? What do you believe? Do you believe I can do this? And really, I believe that's what he was reaching out to those people assembled in that arena. So it's interesting. Hope is not faith. Hope says, I'll get it sometime. Faith says, I got it right now. I got it right now. I'm taking it. Right? So, and just, can we put a lot of this together here tonight? So faith, when it comes to faith, we're dealing in the not seen. We're not dealing in the seen. We walk by faith. We're walking by faith and not by what we see. And so we've been so trained, and I include myself in this. I mean, we have to kind of unlearn and force ourselves to say, no, wait a minute, I'm seeing this. Am I responding because of what I see, or am I responding because of what God has promised? What am I saying? What am I talking about? What am I thinking about this? You know, something that keeps coming up in my thinking recently is, and that's, I guess, maybe why this word be, according to your faith, be it unto you. Become. What is Genesis, I believe it's 1:27, we're made in the image and likeness of God. We're a spirit. We have a soul or a conscience. We have a soul. And we live in a body. If you go around and you look at creation, we're the only being that can speak. So we are a spirit that speaks. And so we are made in his image and likeness, which means, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, if you look at this particular scripture, just want to close with this point. If you think about Proverbs chapter 4, when it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When you look that word issues up, it means the boundaries or extremities of life. So out of our heart come words. Your words are your faith speaking. And when your faith speaks, it done be. You set boundaries in your life. I can't do this. I'll never get this. I can't have this. Well, you never will. So you've already set an I can't into motion. And so be it unto you according to your faith. So many things come back to my thinking about things that I put into motion with my words that were negative. And the Lord reminded me, he said, you've been saying this for a long time. You got it. And so you've got to begin to go back and say, okay, see, when we speak, depending on how developed your faith is, things come quicker. Your faith may not be developed to maybe down here. So it may take 10 years before something will come around and bite you, as they say, in the behind. But it'll come because you keep saying it and saying it and saying it. But the more developed your faith becomes, boom, it could take a week. What did Kenneth Copeland say to Pastor Sarah? Anybody ever remember that? He said, watch your words. He said, even in jest. He says, because I'm turning up the anointing upon your words. So be it unto you according to your faith, but it can also be it unto you according to your faith that things you don't want. You see. So we have to be conscious of the fact that when we're talking about faith, it can be faith for things that you're speaking into existence that you don't want. But here, what are we talking about? We're speaking into existence. We're taking what grace has provided. Peace, soundness of mind, prosperity. That's why when the Lord spoke to me years ago, when he said, if you'll work the word, what does that mean? Faith. Faith works the word. Faith speaks the word. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That's what he spoke to me. So he's saying, if you'll do the same thing that you're doing in the area of your body, in the area of your finances, your bank accounts will be running over. You'll have more than you know what to do with. And so some of us give up too quickly. We just say, well, I've been doing this for 10 years. Keep doing it. Keep feeding your faith. Keep feeding your faith. Keep feeding your faith. Keep feeding your faith. Because if you say, well, I've been doing this for 10 years, what you're saying is it ain't working. That's right. How do you know it's not working? How do you know it's not working? Faith is confident that it is working. Faith is confident that it is working. Faith is the substance, confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith, we walk by confidence, and not by what we see. Amen. We could go on. Just going to unhook here. That's a little nugget or snack here. Keep feeding on this. There's much that God wants to do in the body of Christ and in this ministry, and it's going to take faith to take it. It's His will. He's spoken His will. He spoke it through a number of people. That's why I like to get prophecies given over this ministry from reputable people that have spoken under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Hagin said this when he was alive, and his son said it recently. He said last year, I was watching from camp meeting, he said, one of the reasons my dad never put prophecies in the Word of Faith magazine is because he said prophecies, for the most part, are not for now. And he said a lot of people would get tripped up if we put them in. And so he had a good heart along that line. He didn't want to facilitate people taking something and running off with it not properly. So he said most times prophecy given, and I'm saying not all the time, but most times prophetic words that are given, he said, were for ahead, 10, 20, 15, 20 years ahead. If it's of God, it will come to pass. It'll come to pass. And so when I start looking at words that have been spoken over this ministry, you know, it wasn't for then when the word was given, it's for the future. And I believe it. And there's things that God wants to do, but it's going to have to be received. Is it His will? Yeah. But we can't just sit back and go, well, I'm just waiting on God. No, He's waiting for you to embrace it by faith, take it, receive it, and say, I believe I receive this. And now we do what? Speak it. We release words. What did Caleb and Joshua do? Let's go do it. Let's take it. They released their words in faith. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the faith. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your love. And thank You for the word of faith. Thank You for the word of God, which is impregnated, full of power. And Father, we thank You that as we receive it, as we act upon it, that we'll receive. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. I hope you got a little something out of that. Something to chew on. Go back and listen to it. Keep feeding on it. Keep meditating on it. Keep speaking it. Say, I have faith. I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. And my faith is working. And I am receiving. You just keep saying that. I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. And my faith is working. My faith is growing. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's why I like, let me just say that. That's why I like, you know, a lot of times when you look at, in Mark 9, when he said, if you can do anything. So it's an impossible situation. He says, what do you mean? He said, if I can do anything. He said, not me. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. I'm a believer. How about you? I am. Thank you. Glory to God. Well, let's stand. We've been here long enough. Amen. Let's say this. I am a believer.
I am a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I'm not a doubter.
And I receive, according to my faith, in God, and the word that I've heard is working mightily in me. Praise the Lord.